What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The whole bandwagon of following England is just bonkers. And they win a game and it's like, well, they're the best team in the world and they're so not.
OTB AM, weekdays from 7:30 AM. Listen on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetSetGo.ie.
Delighted to say that Bernard Brogan's autobiography, The Hill with Kieran Shannon, is available in paperback from tomorrow, June the 10th. Delighted to welcome Bernard back to the show. Bernard, how are you getting on?
I am fantastic. How are you?
All good. I presume over the course of the last year or so, there's been more people picking up the book, maybe after Christmas and all that, and having a chat about some of the things that you bared in the book, a little bit of your soul in there and some personal details.
Differently, and obviously the year that I was in it, shops and clothes like that, it was kind of the momentum built slowly over the year, but it was great to get so much positive feedback. You know, I did want to tell a story but also keep the confidence of the team as well, so I hope I've done that. I haven't seen many of them because we've been in COVID, but it's actually 10 years since Dublin won the All-Ireland 2011, so there's a text, there's a WhatsApp group there going around to try and organise a few pints at some stage. I'm not sure what we'll organise, but we'll get a pint in somewhere.
So, like, does Cluxton show up to that? Does James McCarthy show up to that? Does Philly show up to that? What about the current lads from 2011?
Yeah, we'll do a post-championship to right. Give those lads the opportunity. Obviously, they're a bigger part, if not the biggest part of that group. But yeah, like it's all the old guards, the Eamon Fennels and Mossy and Pat Gilroy and all the old guards organising. So I'm looking forward to catching up and reminiscing. It's mad how 10 years moves very fast. It should be a bit of fun.
Jeez, Bernard, all the hours of effort yourself and Kieran Shannon put into that book, and then Paddy Andrews comes along on a podcast and reveals all the secrets of the dressing rooms in one half an hour.
Yeah, he's loose lips, that fella. And you get him into a comfortable position, but he's a hilarious character, and I've been enjoying watching him on him and Andy, two cool characters. But Paddy's a storyteller, and Shana Key, as we say. He's one of the greatest lads you'll ever bring for a pint or two. So I'm sure you'll be looking to get him and Andy out for a couple of pints when the pubs are now open. So that should be on the cards for the next couple of weeks.
How much do you try and keep in touch with that group of players? Like, would you be closer to Paddy Andrews than, say, somebody who would still be in the squad? Does it just have to be that natural distance with players who are still going?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of an unwritten rule that obviously you step away from the WhatsApp group. You keep in touch with them and see how they're doing. Obviously, some of them are very good pals and they're all friends in one way. And we've created a bond that will be there forever. When you win All-Ireland, you know. But yeah, you kind of, as people kind of fall off the chopping block or make a decision, kind of come into it, the group of the rest of us washed up players, you know. But I think it's just naturally, especially when you're doing media, you're talking, you're doing different things. You don't want people to feel as if they're talking to you and something else has been said. So you kind of just leave them at it while they're playing ball. And then whenever they decide to finish up, kind of bring them into the WhatsApp group, the old players, and try and organise a few things, they say.
Players often say that they don't really miss the early part of the season. It's only when the weather gets a bit warmer, the pitches get a bit firmer, that they really miss playing. I guess we didn't really have that at any point last year, so maybe you got off scot-free last year. But are you missing it now, Bernard, not being involved with the Dubs?
Yeah. Look, it's you're dead right. It's been a funny year and a half since I retired. It's nearly been easier to be retired than to be slogging for months and months and not knowing where the finish line is, you know. I wasn't feeling sorry for myself last year and even in the early parts of this year. But absolutely, when the sun comes out and the ground hardens up, obviously it took us a while to get the summer going in Ireland this year, but it's just beautiful out there. It went for a few runs last night. Ross McConnell, one of my good pals and obviously all Dublin comrades, and just the ground is beautiful. We strike a few balls. You have to be careful of the hamstrings because they haven't been kicking too much, but it's just really going to be an epic summer. It's just come fast and furiously. I think it's going to be really exciting. But I'd say, for me personally, I think once I start seeing the games, those games in Croke Park, once we start going to the games, that's when it's really going to pinch me, I feel. When I go into Croke Park and walk through the fans and share a story or two, and then sit in the stand and watch, look down at the lads on the bench, and probably where I spent my last couple of years, but just been part of the group. It was just amazing. Obviously stayed there as long as I could until I could stay no more. So I think that would be the true test of what it emotionally feels for me when I'm in there watching the guys and just not been part of the group.
Do you have a desire or any desire yet, Bernard, to get back involved in the inter-county game? Obviously, in your professional life with Pep Talk, you do a lot around team building and high performance and getting the best out of people. Do you feel that you're ready to offer something to a senior inter-county setup?
I'm not sure. I would have said no over the last number of years when I was finishing up. Obviously, I've got two young babies, twins at home that are keep me very busy. So I have a busy life and busy in work with Legacy and Pep Talk, as you say. But I do kind of like passing that kind of nuggets on. I always like talking to make a phone call yesterday to a lad, Carl, in Galway, who from Tomb Stars, a rising star, into this cruciate, you know. I was delighted to actually be asked to make a call and try and cheer him up. And he's a guy that did his knee, and I get asked to do them from time to time, and get asked to talk to a team, and I do enjoy kind of giving my experience, and I feel like I've got something to add or something with a bit of value to say. So the more I do that, the more maybe I drift away from that playing team. And as time moves on, it probably will be something I'll do, whether I go through the club ranks or whether I go into inter-county. I look at Darren Daly and Butsy, and my good pal who's in the backroom team with Desi now. It's a very big commitment, as you know, for a player. It's even a bigger commitment for management. They have to do the meetings before training and then in their own time to pick teams, and then they have to show up and be there with the players for all of their hours, which are extensive. So it's a phenomenal commitment for the team management at inter-county, all teams. So I'm not sure if I had that free time, but it's definitely something that more I kind of throw nuggets at people and amass things. I think that's something that maybe is bubbling away in my belly, I think.
There probably is a competitive aspect to it all as well, Bernard. There maybe just a void there that naturally comes from not being involved with the Dubs all the time that will eventually need to be filled. Are you starting to feel that itch at all, even just as a pure competitor at the moment?
Yeah, I think so. And I think you probably don't understand the experience you picked up or the little bits of ideas you might have strategically in a game. And another interesting call from a pal of mine, Vinny Tyrrell in New York, who's managed the O'Donnell Rossa ladies team in the Bronx in New York, and he was bringing them into their first league game last weekend. And he was asking me about, he's a soccer player, played for Ireland underage, won an All-Ireland with him at soccer. And he was asking about some of the rules. He said at the half-back line, when we push up, and I was saying, keep them on a string and go left and go right and don't jump out of the line if you're playing defence. And I was like, geez, I actually feel like I actually know something about this, you know what I mean? So that, again, another small example of just that itch kind of been scratched a bit. So the more that happens, maybe the more I want to get back in and maybe try add some value to the team.
You'll regret this, Bernard, because this is starting to sound very like Bernard sitting at home a little bit bored. Give him a call. If you want advice for your club team, you want the expertise of Bernard Brogan, he is free.
I'm going to do a column, yeah, a little phone line, helpline first for your defensive woes in football or your attacking prowess.
on a purely football level, Bernard, obviously you say that you're missing it when the sun comes out and the ground gets harder, but this year in particular you must be looking at some of the fun the forwards are having in the National League and thinking, Jesus, I'd love to be out there.
Yeah, and I think the game is evolving back into a bit of a kick. I know there's still set defence and stuff like that, but you look the way Kerry are playing and they're trying to find Clifford in the forward line. They're kicking passes into him and Sean O'Shea gets it. He's looking for him. I love that. It reminded me of my early days in 2009-10 when I chatted to Paul Flynn about it the other day. He was actually saying how the game as it evolved didn't help the likes of himself. He loved getting the ball, turning and pulling at the outside of the boot across field and then coming in and coming on the run and shooting from distance. When the game evolved into a controlling game where you had to go left and right and control and then have dash runners through the middle, the Jack McCaffreys of this world, It didn't suit his game. It didn't suit me. I preferred to get a ball kicked in long, have a one-on-one, or even have a one-on-one with a sweeper around you and just trying to get a yard of space to take that kick. And I see Kerry doing that. And I see them going for Clifford and trying to give him the ball. And the others inside gives them an opportunity to have a one-on-one. And when they get it, obviously, they're lethal. I'd love to see Dublin do a little bit of that, more of that, as in focused on trying to get a ball to Conn and to Cormac Costello and whoever's inside with guys. If Dean comes back, and he will come back. But he just shows how dangerous they are when Cormac Costello gets the ball in a bit of space or with a one-on-one. He has the balance to move. And if Conn gets it, he takes on a man and goes straight head down for goal. It's just beautiful. And it's just the forward play that I love. Probably lost a bit of it in the latter years because of the way the game evolved. But seeing glimpses of that football coming back, which is really exciting for me over summer to watch that. And Kerry are trying to lead the way, and other teams as well. That forward kind of bit of space, Cork are doing a bit of it, Donegal are doing a bit of it, where they're getting the ball into space and lads are getting a chance to play football in the forward line. The forward line is becoming non-existent, you know, in my eye at some stage. Maybe it's just me, I ran out of legs to be able to run back and then join the attack again. But I think I'm really excited about what's in store for the forward play this summer.
Is it going to be something that we see in the long term? Because like it does seem that maybe there's a hybrid version that might actually be the eventual destination, where someone like Niall Scully's influence is still massive on this Dublin team this year. Like, I think he was man of the match in that game against Kerry, for example. But in the very same game, they go route one to Conn O'Callaghan, which I'm sure was a ball that you would have loved to have won in your playing days early on. So they're trying to combine those two things, it seems, when it comes to Dublin at least.
Yeah, like you have to evolve, you have to move. Like Dublin, I remember in Pat's time, then Jim's early time, every training session we played six forwards and probably 8 or 9 or 10 defenders because of the defensive way the game was going. The game is evolving. Teams are looking at the way Dublin play. Teams are looking at the way Kerry play, and they're coming up with different ways of doing it. And Dublin and other teams have come up with a way of beating that mass defense, of getting through that line, of getting the ball over the defenders and winning games. So it's just not a way to beat a Dubs. So you have to come at them with different ways and different ideas. So that affords different dynamic in Dublin's play and other teams. I think that's the exciting bit. It's the evolution of the game. I think the game, like I spoke to Ty Kennelly, obviously, in our podcast there before Christmas. And he spoke to me about post that, a couple of chats with him. He was saying about in the AFL, and we followed a lot of the tactical and strategies that the AFL have done in years after them. He said it's the full press. It's where the AFL is. And I watched the grand final last year, and I was surprised at just how manic it was. And it was like under 10s where everyone goes to the ball and everyone goes to the ball and everyone goes to the corner, and they follow around these numbers. And I think that's the way the game's going to go, where we're doing a bit of it, and Dublin have done it for a while and other teams have, where you're pressing the kick out. And I think that press up the field is going to be much stronger, where obviously the kick out becomes so important. That's why Clubston's influence in the game is so big. But I believe that teams are whether to do it or not, but I think the next evolution of the game is really pressing the ball. And I don't mean just the full forward line pressing the play, the full back line. I mean the whole team from cornerback to half back, moving a line up the pitch and really condensing the pitch, and moving in pockets that way. I think that's a way that I believe the game will evolve. It hasn't gotten there yet, but if you watch a bit of the AFL, that's the way they're playing. And I actually think that they're a game of statistics and possessions and mileage. I think we've seen a bit of it in glimpses, and I think that's the way I'd set up if I was looking at a Dublin team and looking at how we break down teams and evolve. I would be looking at that, really the defensive, so not a zonal press, a full press, like in basketball where everyone presses and then everyone comes back. And that would be something I think we might see a bit of over the summer.
Is that how Mayo played against Dublin in 16 and 17?
Yeah, they pressed up. Didn't fully go all the way, obviously for obvious reasons, as you can't leave your defensive unit needs to stay. But I think that next step of half forward squeezing and helping their full forwards, the midfield coming up into the half forward line, the half backs coming to midfield, because what happens is when you press with half-heartedly and a full forward line presses, Killian O'Connor, these guys are some of the best tacklers, as Paul Mannion is with the Dubs, there was. Some of your best tacklers in your first line of defence, your full forward line. But if you don't help them, an easy pop ball over the top or someone comes into space, have to defend the next player. So you have, so I always say to people in, when I'm talking to the club team, don't worry about the man. Let me, if I'm a full forward line, tackle the man. And when he gets by me, that's on me. I'll chase him down the pitch or Nesty or whoever. But it's the guy, it's the next guy. It's up to you as the team member to make sure that you don't give my man an out ball. So that means that the halfback have to pull up or the other side of the pitch have to come across. And I think there's a domino effect of that. And I think that if you fully press up the pitch, the reward, it's like Liverpool soccer has been doing it. Liverpool did it when they had at their best a couple of years ago. We all know they're taught their high press with the front three they had, and the team all pressed with them, and they got massive rewards. And then when you don't do it fully, as you've seen this year, maybe didn't just have the intensity, it falls away. But when you're at top of your game, at top of your pomp, and everyone is working at that unit, there's real reward in that. I think that's something.
It's strange, Bernard, that it's taken teams 3-4 years to follow that example, because you used the word chaos there in the AFL, and like the thing that stands out from 16 and 17 finals was that they were very chaotic games, whereas a lot of teams against Dublin seem to be, well, we will set up with our own game plan, let them have possession of the ball and hope that Dublin somehow turn it over or make a mistake, which we know with this Dublin team they rarely, if ever, do. But that actually going with a high press, trying to put a bit of chaos into the game, may well be actually the only way you can upset Dublin.
Yeah, look, well, you have to do something different. They're a phenomenal team, and they're evolving. You know, that's the magic of this team, and obviously I was part of it for a long time, and it was always an evolution, always looking at how we can do things differently, because if you stand still, you go backwards, and Jim was like that, and I know Desi, I'm sure Desi is of the same mindset. I know he had a lot of those lads at under 21 as well, and with a similar mindset, so they are evolving, so teams need to evolve with that, and all teams are, but that's Dublin who are out there, teams need to do something different. I think setting up as a mass defence, Dublin have proved that they can find a way through that, and with strike runners, every team is doing it. Like teams all over the country that have figured out ways of breaking down the mass defence, because the game has been playing it for 10 years, you say 10 years since 2011, 2012, like that was the years that Donegal started this, and Tyrone's this world. So a long time around, and managers haven't come up with strategies to break it. So there's a different style of football needed, I feel, to be competitive in this championship this year.
Yeah, and the evolution has been really enjoyable. One thing I wanted to ask you about, Bernard, was the forward that is impressing you the most at the moment. And it's kind of sometimes very hard to ask this question, because some forwards play in much better teams and it's hard to quantify this. So I'll put it to you this way. If you were starting a new Gaelic football franchise and you had the first pick in a draft and you had to pick a forward, which current Gaelic footballer would you pick?
Clifford. I love all of Dublin players, the forwards, and they would be in my team, but I just think... Just see the package that Clifford is bringing, and the cool for such a young man to be so calm. I think he still has a bit to learn in his game. He gets a bit too involved. He gets a bit too excited at times. He doesn't need to do that. But his balance is left and right, and it's just his confidence. I think that's what great players are. They have that confidence. You look at Conn. You look at Conor Costello. They're so cool on the ball. Clifford is just—he has that size and he has that ball-winning ability. And obviously has an eye for goal. Like he's just a complete footballer, and I'm looking forward to watching over summer. And I just love the way Kerry are supporting his strengths, strengthening his strengths. They're getting him the ball. They're allowing him time. He's working hard. Like to be successful in this game, you have to be a hard worker, and then you get the rewards from it. So it's not about just waiting inside, as I did sometimes. But when I actually worked hard, it's when I probably played my best football. So he's a hard worker, and he's running hard to get on the ball. So he's one that I just think is, as you say, when I'm looking for someone to look forward to watch over the summer, I'm looking forward to watching Clifford see can he continue his form. I always look at how teams set up against players like that. How they mark them? How they tactically try and slow them down? Obviously, I was always trying to do the opposite to teams in my day. And they've had different tactics against me. So it'd be interesting to see what way teams set up trying to put a bit of cold water on his team.
Well, I was just about to ask, actually, that you've obviously seen up close what a modern cornerback will try and do to you. It seems that Clifford maybe has a bit of an edge. And obviously, he got sent off against Tyrone last year in the league. That spilled over at times. But he's put on a bit of bulk this year as well. And allied with that edge, that mentality that he has, he can probably handle what any cornerback is going to throw at him, it seems so far.
Yeah, and as I said, what I think he should learn is that he doesn't need to get involved in that. Like I for a long time, right, loads of defenders pulling and dragging out of me and trying to rise me up. And I just let it bounce off me, you know what I mean? And then it stops. And then they ignore it. They just try and beat you playing football, you know what I mean? And yeah, a punch comes in. But because when you get excited like that, and that happened to me a couple of times, and I learned quickly, your emotions go up, the blood rises. It's nearly get dizzy when you get into those heightened states of a row or a drag a match, or you're in the middle of it. It just throws you off your game so long. Hence why defenders are trying to do it to you. Throws you off your game, takes you out of your comfort zone, takes you out of your focus. So it actually does nothing for a full forward line to engage with that. I would be strongly opposed to forwards of that caliber getting involved in that. Not that here, I know he's getting pulled and dragged, and it's just trading. You're trying to play a game, and the refs are blaming him, and you're kind of saying, how refs can say, give a yellow card to two players and roll around the ground. They always wonder, saying, ref, I'm a forward here. I'm trying to get out in front of my man to get on the ball. Do I actually want to be rolling around the ground with this fella here? So refs, a bit of it is on the refs to protect our players like that and make sure that they're and the linesmen more so, or the umpires, to keep an eye on that you allow our talented players space and time. Obviously, within the rules, you can knock lumps out of them. But I think he's a complete footballer, and he's still so much to offer. So I'm looking forward to watching him over the summer.
We should ask Bernard before we let you go. Do we think we're going to be having the same conversation in 12 months' time about can the Dubs be stopped, or do you think it might happen this year?
Just such a strange year, you know. It's going to be soft tissue injuries as we go. Disappointed not to see. Well, don't know yet. But if Dublin and Kerry can't play in the league final, which is a disappointing one, that I would have really enjoyed if they both won their game. I think is that correct that they can't beat Kerry out in the 26th. So that's one that would have been lovely. Obviously, they have to get over Donegal and Tyrone. No mean feats, but I think the way that the year is going to go is it's going to be Dublin are going to be there or thereabouts. There's no question about it. I don't think they meet Kerry until very late in the summer if they do get there. So it'll be nip and tuck. I think you've seen from the league game, it's Kerry are well able to score. I think their defence, Dublin's forward unit might be just a little bit strong for their defence, but on a big day, anything is possible, you know what I mean, and it will be close. And that's not to write off a Mayo or a Tyrone, a couple of young footballers that are exciting, and Donegal will always be hard to beat in a short summer, you know. So Galway, I thought, would show more early on. Obviously, they were hiding from Kerry. Maybe that's a kick that they needed. Obviously, Comer to come back in. Shane Walsh looks like a Rolls Royce out there. He needs a bit of support. Yeah. So it's actually a really exciting summer of football coming. Dublin will be in the mix. They will be well controlled. They've got a panel that they can rely on if injuries happen. So, hopefully we're in the decision this place in 12 months' time talking about Dublin's dominance, but a long way to go.
Bernard, it's been
that's
great.
The Kerry blood in him there, the bit of Yerrism of trying to, you know, he's learned from the best there, play it down.
Now that I'm on this side of the camera, I always kind of say, what would Tomás O'Shea say here now? How do I big up a Dublin player? So I spent the last 10
Tomás
minutes.
Tomás O'Shea, where's me check?
The Hill. It is Bernard Brogan's autobiography. It is brilliant. You say you didn't give too much away in it. I certainly learned plenty from reading it. It's out now in paperback with Kieran Shannon, of course, from tomorrow, I should say, the 10th. So pick that up in all good bookstores. Bernard Brogan, brilliant stuff as ever. Thanks a million for joining us this morning.
Thanks, James, as always.
The OTV Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetSetGo.ie.